Hey church, we want to welcome you to another inspirational message from Manukau New Life. We hope you enjoy and have a great day. Be blessed.
Righty. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Great time of worship this morning, amen? Who appreciates our worship team? Yeah, Jace is all right. Thanks to all the musos and singers. Really appreciate you guys. I want to pray for those that are watching online. I know there's people who watch online because they're sick at home. If you're sick at home and you can't be here and you're watching today, can you put your hand wherever you're feeling sick? Father, we pray for your healing to flow, the river of God to flow in people's homes, wherever they are today, Lord, watching this. If they've got the flu, if they're feeling sick, feeling down in any way, we speak healing, we speak life, we speak strength to them. Lord, you are not only here, you are right there with them. So Holy Spirit, we declare your healing power touching their life in Jesus' name. We thank you for that. If you're watching online, why don't you just begin to thank God. Say, thank you, God, that I'm healed. Thank you, God, that you're touching my life. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 17 in a moment, but I'm going to read just as you're looking there from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says this, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." This morning's message is called Speak to the Rock. Speak to the Rock. And in this passage here, the Apostle Paul's writing to the Corinthian church, and he's saying, our ancestors went through some things that were an example to us. Example to the how we live our lives. And he says they were baptized, not baptized how we get baptized in this water tank, but it's very similar, he says. They were baptized as they went through the sea with Moses. And so he's talking about the moment in the journey that the children of Israel, the church in the wilderness, had. As they left Egypt, they went through the Red Sea, and God separated the waters and made a way for them. And then God destroyed the Egyptian army that was pursuing them and trying to bring them back into slavery. And so that in that water baptism, they died to the old life and they came alive to the new life. And that's what we have when we are baptized. We die in the coffin over here, the water coffin. We die to the old life and we are raised again in the newness of life in Christ. And so he's saying these things are a picture for us to understand and for us to learn from. They ate the same spiritual food. He's talking about how daily the Lord would provide for them manna from heaven. And they would pick this manna off the ground. It was physical, and they would bake it into some bread and they would eat it. And so daily you and I are to meditate on, think on, and read the Word of God. We are to be people who are daily in the Word. Amen? And they also drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Well, we're talking about the river of life. We're talking about the water, the living water that flows. And here, Paul says they drank from a spiritual rock. So what's he talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Exodus chapter 17 and let's read this passage here. Exodus 17, verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. Let's just take a moment to reflect on that first verse. Who was leading them here? Who was kind of directing them? Do you see who it says? They traveled from place to place as the Lord commanded them. So here they are at a place called Rephidim, and there's no water. I mean, if you have a big group of people, and historians say there may have been a million, maybe more, some large number of people, and you're taking a journey, you don't set up camp, you don't stop at a place where there's no water, right? You look for a watering hole. You look for a place where people can drink. Who knows, you can go for a while without food, but you can't go too long without water. You few days and you're going to start getting really desperate. Things are going to get really dire. So you don't set up camp. You don't stop in the middle of a place where there's no water. But here, they are being led not by a committee, not by Moses. They're being led by day by the cloud and at night by the pillar of fire. So it's God himself who leads them to a place where there's no water. Wow, let's just think about that for a moment. Do you find yourself in a space where you're dry and where you're thirsty and you're blaming the devil for it? You're blaming that person for it? You're blaming this situation for it? Just maybe it was God who brought you to that place. Maybe it's the Lord who's brought you to a place where you're dry. Good preaching, Pastor. Good preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, great point. It's not the kind of point you go, amen, it, is it? But you know, here, this is what I want us to understand. God had them in the school of the wilderness. God had something he wanted to teach them. God had a miracle he wanted to bring to them. God had some amazing thing that he wanted to show them about himself and about how he would provide living water for them. But he couldn't get them to that place until they first came to a place where they were thirsty, where they had nothing in the natural. They had no water of their own to drink. And here they are in, wilderness school, paper 101. Trusting God. Trusting God. Oh, it's easy to do that when you have everything provided for you and everything's nice. But when you're in the wilderness and there's no water to drink and you're like, oh, I'm gonna die. And there's drama queens in your family who are just getting all dramatic about it. And you're just, the people are crying, breaking down. Why are we here? We're going to die. It's not so easy there to say, I'm trusting God, is it, right? Come on, who's been there? Who knows what I'm talking about? Those moments in your life where you're like, it's just all falling apart. God may have brought you to that place. Well, it doesn't kind of fit with my theology, but here we see God brought them to this place and God said, set up camp here where there's no water. And so here they are and they begin to kind of, we see if they trust the Lord or if they do what people do. They start quarreling. They start fighting with one another and particularly with Moses. Moses, give us something to drink. It is better if we died in Egypt. And, you know, why did you bring us out here? And God's not even with us. And they begin to put the Lord to the test. And they say, you know, we just moaning, complaining, groaning. You brought us out of here to die, you know. And they're almost ready to stone him. So Moses goes to the Lord. Verse 4, cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? The Lord answered Moses, go out in front of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff. Liana's got my staff this morning. This is the rod of Moses, people. Take the staff and go to the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock. And out flowed the water. So Moses is to go and to strike the rock. As he struck the rock, water came out and the people were able to drink. It's an amazing miracle, something incredible that happens in this moment here. God answers their cry for water. But Paul says this is a picture of Christ. Paul says the rock, they drank from the spiritual rock and the rock was Christ. So here's an interesting thought for us to think about here this morning is that the rock, if let's imagine our pulpit here today is the rock. And we have a picture of the rock here, this rock. This rock here was discovered near Horeb near the mountain of Horeb by Bob Cornuk and his guys, and they saw at the bottom of this rock, not only had it been split, but it had marks from where water, it looked like water had been like a shooting out of the air from this rock. And someone's drawn a picture of it here on this next slide. We call this the former rock. I've called it the former rock, the first rock, because there's two of them. And so Moses was to strike the rock, and out of the rock came the living water. So this rod of Moses was used to bring, it was his authority, but it was also used to bring judgment on Israel, on Egypt. And so God says, take the same rod that you struck the water of the Nile and turned it to blood. Take the same rod that you spoke and the plagues came down on Egypt. Take the same rod that you split the ocean with and you declared again the judgment of God and it destroyed the Egyptian army. Take that rod that brought the judgment of God upon the sin of the world and strike the rock with the rod. Strike it with that. This speaks of Christ. This speaks of the fact that he who is the rock, Christ, was struck with the judgment of God, was struck for the sin of the world. And as he was struck with that rod, out of his side flowed water, that living water. We read this in John chapter 19. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, suddenly flowed out blood and water. And that living water flowed from his side when he was struck. So we see this incredible prophetic picture here that is given to us. And it's a miracle. It's an amazing moment that happened. And so there's this awesome thing that happens, and then, of course, the rest of the story goes on. Well, turn over to Numbers chapter 20 with me. 37 years later, the children of Israel come back to the same place. Can anybody remember what they were doing 37 years ago? Anybody remember what you're doing 37 years ago? You know, some of you might not even been born 37 years ago. So, you know, if you think to yourself, well, you know, I'm this age, 37 years ago, I would have been in the South Island, I think, would have been quite young. So this is a long time has passed since the first rock. And we read this here in chapter 20 of Numbers. It says, in the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, stayed at Kadesh. Miriam died there and was buried. Not a good time for Moses. His sisters just died. Now there was no water for the community. The people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Who thinks this is a really positive group of people, right? Every time they complain about, if only we had died. Like, they've got some real issues here with, you know, needing to have some more faith. Why did you bring us out here to die with our livestock? Why did you bring us out of Egypt to this terrible place? You know, no figs, grains, pomegranates, or water to drink. Moses and Aaron went to the assembly, to the entrance of the tent, and fell down, worshipped the Lord. And the Lord says to Moses, take the staff, and this time I want you to go, and I want you to speak to the rock. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm, struck the rock twice, bang, bang. Water gushed out. Community and their livestock drank, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me to honor me as holy. Everyone say holy. There's something Moses did here. He didn't honor the Lord is holy in the way he did this. You will not come into the promised land. These were the waters of Meribah where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he was proved holy among them. There's this word holy here. I've called this the latter rock. The latter rock. You had the former rock and the latter rock. I want to say this, that each generation needs to encounter the living water of God. It's great that there were previous moves of God. It's great that there were moves of the power and the presence of God. It's great that you may have experienced something previously in your life where you encountered God in a powerful way. But you know what? Yesterday's bread is for yesterday. The river of God that flowed 40 years ago is not sufficient for your and my life today. We need to come again thirsty to the living water. We need to come again to that place where we come in this new generation and say, I am thirsty for God. I desire to encounter God. Unless you come hungry and thirsty yourself, you know, you can't survive on what your mom and dad or your grandparents or what you heard somebody else experienced. It's generally when there's a generation that will come hungry and thirsty for God that He will begin to pour out His Spirit afresh, begin to move in our lives. So let's be those people that praise God for what was done in the former, but this is here in our time. Let us be a people who live near the river, who are hungry and thirsty for the water of God. Amen? And so it says here that they came to that rock, and here it says that Moses was to speak to the rock. You know, Christ was struck once on the cross. His judgment that God put upon Him for our sin was once. We don't come again and place that judgment on Christ. We come this time and we speak. But Moses, in his anger and in his frustration, in his kind of like... just the words he says here, right? He says, must we do this for you? Somewhere in this moment, I think he has gotten so frustrated at what's happening around him that he has forgotten that this is a holy moment. God says, this is a holy thing. This is something that must be done with reverence. I mean, it's a miracle, right? It's not every day that you see water pouring out of a rock. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But Moses is beginning to treat this like a bit of a common thing. Like, you know what you do? You go up there, you whack the rock, and the water comes out. We can sometimes treat what God is doing, what God has done in our lives, like it's something common. Like it's something that, you know, we do, and we know how to do it. We know how to do the prophecy. We know how to pray in tongues. We just do the stuff and we go through the we know how to sing the songs. We know how to worship. And it becomes something that is no longer a holy thing, that we get to come before God Almighty, that we get to enter through the veil, that we get to be filled with the Spirit, that we get to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And we begin to treat it as something common. And it's a ritual, it's something we do, but it's not something that we appreciate and value anymore. And when we do that, we actually lose out on the promised land that God wanted us to walk into. You can still operate in the gifts, but you're operating out of your own flesh. I mean, Moses still did the miracle, but he wasn't doing it in a way that honored God. He wasn't doing it in a way that was bringing glory to a holy God. I was just going through how it was done last time. And God's like, no, I'm doing it a different way this time. It's a new river. It's a new stream. It's something I want to do in a different way. So I just say that to say, never become complacent. Never become just sort of just oh yeah, I know how this rolls. I know how it goes. You just do this, you do that, they do this, and then this happens, and then we go like, it's not like that. When we have that attitude, we actually are robbing ourselves from encountering what God has for our lives. He's a God who does things in a different way. Amen? He does things in a fresh way. And so this rock here, we are to speak to the rock. Paul says they drank the spiritual drink from a spiritual rock. So this is talking about speaking spiritual words. It is a spiritual language. A spiritual language that begins to flow out of our mouths. We speak spiritual words. In Acts chapter 2, we read this, so we get a better understanding about this. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a blowing of a violent wind came and filled the whole house. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, the actual presence of God coming upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak other tongues. They began to speak words of the Spirit. They began to speak a heavenly language as the Spirit enabled them. And Peter describes this in verse 14. He says, this is what's going on because they People heard this, so they thought, what is this? It doesn't make sense. Some of them look like they're drunk. Some of them are speaking a language they've never learned. Some of them are speaking some other language. I don't understand what it is. And Peter stood up in verse 14 and he said, look, this is what's happening. Let me explain this to you. Listen carefully. These people are not drunk. As you suppose, it's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out. Everyone say pour out. That's a river being poured out. I'm going to pour out the river of life. I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to pour out that living water into your spirits, into your souls, and you will prophesy. Sons and daughters, young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. On my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Joel, if you read that chapter, chapter 2 of Joel, he talks about the former rain and the latter rain. He talks about the autumn and the spring rain. As the rain falls, the river grows until the river is poured out into our hearts and our lives. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that we can participate in, that we can enter into as we speak the words of the Spirit, as we begin to pray in the Spirit, as we sing in the Spirit. Paul says, speak in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Let that living water flow out of your heart and out of your life. And today, you and I, if we're hungry, if we're thirsty, we can come to the rock who is our Savior, and we can speak those living words, and we can see that miracle, that holy moment of the living water flowing out of our lives. There's a last thought here that I wanted to share before we have some time just to worship and to pray and to believe for that outpouring in our hearts this morning. Because I want to pray for people today that are hungry, that are thirsty, people that would come. You know, you will rob yourself of an encounter with God because of different thoughts that you may believe in your head. I listened to a short clip that David McCracken put together this week. It was great. He was talking about, you know, encountering God. And he said, people have all these things that stop them from encountering God. One is that I don't need it. I don't need it. I'm fine. I'm happy. That, you know, that was for a time in my life when I was desperate. But right now I'm happy. I'm cool. I'm just doing life. I don't need another encounter with God. What a terrible way to live. Amen. If we're living like that, let me tell you, you're probably living still in the desert, and you haven't entered into the promised land. You haven't entered into your destiny. You haven't entered into the purposes of God for your life. Because if you've entered into the destiny and the purposes of God for your life, there'll be a giant or two eyeballing you, and you're going to be desperate for the presence of God, right? When you look at what God wants for your life, if there's no problems, there's no trials, let me humbly suggest that you're still living in the desert, and you haven't actually gone over and possessed those walled cities and those giants. When you go in there, you're going to need God. So God's teaching his people here, you're going to need me down the track. Right now, I'm letting you know I'm here with you. I'm the living water that wants to flow to you. There's a song. There's a song that God wants to release within your spirit. There's something that he wants you to sing. And you're going to find that song at the river. There's a river flowing from my nose today. It's not prophetic. There's a song. I noticed when I read through the Psalms that a number of the psalmists, the songs, they talked about the river of God. They talked about being in that moment and how God birthed a song within their spirits. Psalm 36, how precious is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge under the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. Isn't that a beautiful line? For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 46, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The river of God will put joy in your hearts. It brings joy and gladness to your life. Psalm 78 says this, he split the rock in the wilderness, streams out of the rocky crag, make water flow down like rivers. The psalmist here is writing a song about this moment. Now, I'm not suggesting that, you know, it's necessarily actually just a, a song that we sing. When I say the word song, it's a song, it's a revelation, it's a destiny, it's a purpose that comes out of that moment of encounter with God. See, I could write a song this morning. I could sit down with my guitar. I write songs all the time around my house, actually. Just walk around singing random lines. We wrote one about fleas in someone's bedroom, and I won't tell you about that yesterday, but you can write a song if you know how to sing. You can sit down and write a song about the fleas and stuff, but it's not really an encounter with Jesus moment right there, right? You can write a song so someone could sit down and want to write a worship song. They could put some lyrics together and a tune together, and it would be nice. But if somebody goes into the river of God, has an encounter with God, and sees Jesus, and there's a powerful revelation, transformation, change in their heart, and then writes a song about that moment, that's what I'm talking about. A song that reflects, whoa, I encountered God. I saw something of God I've never seen. And they begin to write this song, and out of that comes this powerful song that ministers from their life to others. Your song may not be literally something that is sung. It may be a revelation. It may be journaling. It may be a destiny, a ministry, something that God opens up for you, but it opens up for you from the river of life. It opens up for you from that place of encounter with God where you are no longer going through the motions, but you're walking in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit around your life. God has a song for you. God has a destiny for you. God has something for you that He wants to release out of you. We heard a beautiful testimony this morning as Pauline got up here and sung her song. She gave glory to God. She testified of what the Lord is doing in her life. We get to sing our song, and that song is found from the presence of the Lord. Amen. You know, when they went to Babylon, and what does it say? They went to the rivers of Babylon. And we could not sing the Lord's song anymore. You know that song by Boney M? Yeah. Well, it's actually from the Bible. By the rivers of, we sat down. How could we sing the Lord's song? By the strange river. If you're drinking from Babylon's river, if you're drinking from the water that comes from Babylon, you'll find that the song of the Lord dries up in your heart. But when you come to the living water, the water that flows from the city of God, you'll find that there is a song of heaven that begins to be released from your spirit.